now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, it's time now for a weekly feature called Rip the Show. Call in, anything you hate about this program, anything you think sucks, anything that's made you angry, anything that's bored you, anything that has caused consternation or otherwise. This is your opportunity now. It's Rip the Show. Come on, let's go. Let's go. Fill up the phone lines at 1-800-449-8686. Rip it. Rip it a new one. Cut it a brand spanking new ass. Whatever it is that is on your mind, this is the time to do it. The number is right there for you. It's scrolling across the bottom of the screen right now. 1-800-449-8686. Rip the show. And while we wait for your phone calls on that, I wanted to finish up a little bit of what I was saying concerning some of the joints that we hang out in. I actually, this is not like, you know, and here's my favorite restaurant. They've got a marvelous duck larange. The head chef there is Henri. No, it's not that. It's just here's where we go to eat, Maria and I. And sometimes we drag the kids with us, like the Tuscany over there in Westlake Village. Now, there was a bar in Hollywood, Florida I used to go to that was made out of stuff that a guy found in the ocean. Literally, and I can't remember the name of this joint, but there was a toilet that he had that he'd set up. I guess he found the toilet floating in the ocean, and he brought that and made that into a planter. And just everything. The place was constructed out of crap he found floating in the ocean. And it was like, three or four blocks north of where I used to live. Can't remember the name of that. Then there was another joint I used to go into in Atlanta. I wonder if it's still there, the Vickery, and it was downtown or near downtown, near the Atlanta Art College, or the College of Art in Atlanta, or the Atlanta College of Art. And I liked this place because it was right down there, and then about 11 o'clock at night, the college, a lot of students would come over from the college, all kinds of freak cases, just real space cadets would walk in there, and then the bartender would close the joint up about midnight, lock the doors so nobody else could come in, and he'd start mixing up the martinis. That was about, 8 years ago when I was in Atlanta. And then there was a place in Minneapolis called the Sri Lanka. It's just like hangouts, places I'd go to. The Sri Lanka was Sri Lankan food. It wasn't Indian food. It was Sri Lankan food. And Sri Lankan food is like Indian food with a lot of seafood. And it's hotter than hell. It's hotter than anything you've ever had in your life. Hotter than anything, I guarantee, that you've had in your life. You go in there, you tell the guy, I'd like it mild, please. So the guy goes, you want the mildest that we have. The mildest that you've got, that's what I gotta have. Otherwise, I can't. I'll stay here and eat it because the food's so good, but I will put myself through hell doing it. You see what I'm saying? So make the experience as pleasant as possible. Yes, sir, I will. Well, they come back, the mildest thing they got would peel the flesh off the top, the roof of your mouth, you know, how like the next day? It would sear a hole through toxic waste. But you wouldn't get up and split because it was so delicious. So you just put yourself through this living hell. They had this little yogurt drink, and they would give that to you. Well, if it's really hot, this will cut the heat. Okay, give me like 8 of them. Here, we've got the yogurt drink. Not one. I need 8. Because I can't, because I would drink the whole thing in 10 seconds. Here you go. Here's a yogurt drink, sir. It'll cut the heat. Yeah, bull crap. Okay, it's gone. Another one. Let's go. Ho, ho, ho. If I could get a gallon of this stuff. So that was another place. Then there was another joint called Dixie's in St. Paul on Grand Avenue. And that was just like a sports bar, you know. But they had really good food, and I could go there anytime, day or night, watch a ball game, get something really good to eat. It was like right around the corner from where I lived. You know, just the neighborhood joints. So there you go. All right, so this hour, and by the way, Mike, I've got a list here of songs that I used to like but I think suck now, because I think that's in keeping with Rip the Show, which is the theme of this hour. 1-800-449-8686. Look at this. He can't find anybody with a decent rip job on the show. Now, we were talking the other day about songs that you used to like, and now, like years later, you go, boy, what was I thinking? So I sort of compiled a list of those and came up with, surprisingly, some bands and some music that I used to really love, and now I can safely say and must admit, I don't know what I was thinking. I might have been out of my freaking mind to ever really think this music was good, but I have to tell you, Jethro Tull is right there, man. According to Craig, anything by Bon Jovi. Jethro Tull and the Moody Blues for me. What was I thinking? I know what I was thinking. I was 15. That's what I was thinking. You remember that album that came out, Electric Light Orchestra, New World Record ad? It's a living thing. It's a tear. You know that song? Hate that record. Hated. Although I always did. Also, the entire second Boston album, unnecessary swill. Rod Stewart, Hot Legs especially. You know, I know you're rich. I know that you are, I know you're rich. I know you can afford great drugs, great booze, and they'll get into the limousine with you. I don't want to hear about it, okay? It just reminds me of my sad, rotten life. You and your Hot Legs. You and all that crap you did after you left Faces, Rod, sucks. And Wings, too, as long as we're on the subject. Paul McCartney, I love you, man. I love the, you know, your wife, your ex-wife, all your family, the great people, and God love you for the Beatles, but Wings blows. Especially that Ebony and Ivory crap you did with, what was his name, Stevie Wonder? Give me a break. It's not that I'm, like, against race relations, but that old, I don't know. Some kind of like an evolution of Step and Fetch It or something. It just, I didn't like it. By the way, all of you bands out there called Slayer, Venom, Poison, Molly Hatchet, Anthrax, Armored Saint, Manowar, you're all gay. Okay, rip the show here, 1-800-449-8686. Oh, by the way, there's a billionaire. Oh, that bar in Florida is called La Tub. It's still there? Thanks, Mike. The La Tub, yeah. I used to go up there with all of my date. I mean, with my girlfriend. There's a billionaire, another billionaire, who wants to go around the world in a balloon. Now, if the guy makes it and goes around the world in a balloon, does that mean, in other words, that that's the best way to travel? Or what is that with a balloon? Why not just go around the world on a tricycle? Because to me, it's the same thing. Like when Jimmy Stewart, I say Jimmy Stewart, it was actually Charles Lindbergh, but when I saw Jimmy Stewart in Spirit of St. Louis go over the Atlantic, see, everybody's flying over the Atlantic in an airplane. But the guy in the balloon, this is not going to increase balloon traffic. The last balloon that I saw that came over the Atlantic is on the cover of Led Zeppelin 1, speaking of bands that I don't like anymore, and it's blowing up. It's on fire. You go around the world in a balloon, man, you might as well go around the world on a unicycle or something. In other words, it's one of those stunts that, like, rich guys get involved in. It's a really great idea, okay? Hey, all right, we went around the world on a balloon. Great! Well, now I can take a balloon to New York. I take my wife to Europe. We're going to Barcelona by way of hot air balloon. How long do you think it'd take me to go from the West Coast to Barcelona, Spain in a hot air balloon? Like, what, 3 months? If we had our own little gondola, you know, and everything like a kitchenette, if you, you know, it's like an apartment, a floating, flying apartment for like 2 months, might not be bad. But this guy's got more money than God. This other guy, this Branson guy. How long are we going to be fishing these guys out of the drink, too?
Well, we almost made it to Africa, but,
Oh, yeah, you hit the water, huh?
Yes, we did. It sucks. Well, come in and rescue us.
All right. Let's divert our Coast Guard now, get another billionaire out of the water with his balloon floating in the surf there, with his limp balloon. When those guys were trying to go across the Atlantic in airplanes, it made sense. When we go to space, it makes sense. Go to the moon. Makes sense. Balloon travel. Unless you can go to Mars in a balloon, and maybe they know something I don't know. I'm going to go to freaking Mars in a balloon, and what you guys are doing, I think, benefits mankind. Otherwise, it's just a lot of jive, you know? It's just, I mean, you might as well be making balloon animals. Now, if you go across the Atlantic on a balloon animal, why don't you guys quit going over the Atlantic in just a regular old round balloon? Go across in a freaking dachshund or something, you know? Or a poodle. Not only are we going over in a balloon, we're going over on a balloon animal. It's going to be full of hydrogen and helium, and it's going to be shaped just like a duck. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. We'll take a break and come back with our very first calls on Rip the Show here on The Phil Hendry Show after this.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
All right, we're trying to get calls for Rip the Show. This is our weekly feature. Started out good last week, where you call up and tell us what you absolutely can't stand about this radio show. You know, we're not interested in you calling up and saying this show isn't on long enough. That's not what we're talking about. Call up and rip this show. Maybe you got nothing bad to say about it, which I suppose is understandable. And I don't mean that there's nothing bad about the show, but it's just if you're listening to it, I guess you like it. I mean, this is the show, after all, that referred to Chandra Levy as Choda Levy, but I guess you dig that. I guess that's okay with you. This is the show that compared an aborted fetus to shrimp cocktail, but maybe you agree. You know, this is the show that had a man come on to say that he wanted to drop his son from the roof onto a folding table, but perhaps that's the way you conduct things at your house. I don't know. So I can't describe it or explain it much better than that. In this segment of Rip the Show, you have an opportunity. And one of the things that I'd like to say right now is something that's been actually mentioned to me in the past is, you know, Phil, every day you get on the air and all you do is give, 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 give. You can flip on this show for 3 hours a night and you hear me working my ass off, creating what I think, pound for pound, is as funny a show as anything out there. We don't ask much from you because I've learned the hard way. Down through the years, with all due respect, I've learned the hard way. When you ask for a little contribution from the audience, most of the time, it ain't too good, if you'll pardon the use of the words. It's just, it isn't too hot. It's not too interesting. It's not, but never, every now and again, I feel like I need to give you guys an opportunity to check in here. It is a talk show, after all, a talk show that primarily is hosted by me. The characters are performed by me. The comedy is written by me and my producer, Mike Schaefer. And the show is executed by me, Schaefer, and Craig Taylor, my engineer. And all we ask that you do is listen. And we're very happy to report, by the way, that in increasing numbers, you are. But, that having been said, we feel like we need to stop down, let you up for air, and give you an opportunity to check in. So we've devised things like You May Now Talk to Phil and also Rip the Show. And other little things like Talent or Crap. So that's what we're asking you to do right now. And right now, Mike can't find a decent call. Can't find a call to save his life. I'll give the number again, 1-800-449-8686, or I can just keep glancing up at this Liberace special on Larry King Live, and frankly, it's looking pretty good. Right now, either talking to you guys or watching Liberace, I vote for Liberace. I'm joking. Actually, Liberace's actually pretty cool. Nothing wrong with him. Nothing wrong with watching him play the piano and cavort about in a spangled gown. It's not nothing in anything that none of you have never done, if you know what I'm saying, do you? I don't. Haven't you frolicked about in a spangled gown after playing the piano on a moonlit night? Oh, I shouldn't say anything? Sorry. 1-800-449-8686. While we're waiting for that one elusive phone call, we haven't got a one. What do you want me to do, screen these the calls on the air? Well, you know what? Well, then screw it. Get rid of all of these people. Get out of here. We don't want you. Lines have now been busied out. I don't want to talk to you. If you got nothing to say, if you don't have any constructive, interesting criticism of this program, some pointed critique of this show, then we don't want to talk to you. Bug off. All the lines are now officially busied out. So I'm going to spend the rest of this show talking about crap that I want to talk about. Starting with the movie Deep Throat, which made $20 million in rentals, only cost $24,000 to make. And in reading the newspaper today, they had a list of people's favorite movies, of what the critics liked, of what the people liked, of people's favorite films. And do you realize when people talk about their favorite movies, they never once mention Deep Throat, even though the bloody thing has made $20 million in rentals? Now, that's, you know, that's just rentals alone, and it costs $24,000 to make. That's a lot of bread to make for a movie that only cost $24,000 to make in 1972, when a movie was, about that time, costing around $1 million, $2 million to make. And by that time, blockbusters, big ones, were costing around $20 million, $30 million to make, maybe. This movie cost $24,000. People rent that thing like it's going out of style to the tune of $20 million, and nobody ever says on their list of favorite movies, Deep Throat. Why? Because they're embarrassed. That's why. They don't want to mention Deep Throat. So people don't give an honest answer when you say, what are the favorite movies? What are your favorite movies of all time? What are the great movies? What are the movies that you really enjoyed? Well, Deep Throat's never there. Well, that's bullcrap because you rented it. How could you tell me that you rent Deep Throat at $20 million and you it ain't one of your favorite movies? Some of these cats are going back and renting it 2-3 times. How can you honestly say then that Deep Throat ain't on a list of even the top 200 movies of all time? Well, I rent the hell out of it, but do you like it? No, I don't like it. So why are you renting it? Well, you must like it. It's okay. You like sex? Well, sometimes I'm mean to myself in the bedroom. Okay, I understand. At least say it. Well, I didn't want to say. Why didn't you want to say? Well, you know, people think I'm a perv. It's cool now. 30 years ago, you were a pervert. 30 years ago, you go into the Pussycat Theater, man. You're a perv. You sit there watching a movie in a long overcoat, blah, 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 right? You go to the Peep Show. You're a sick, twisted guy. But now you're okay. You can go down and rent it. Your girlfriend will send you out of the car to go get her favorite, I don't know, whatever, an anal sex movie, whatever. But, you know, you're all right now.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. So put it on your list. Let me see that list. The Flintstones. You see, you're not embarrassed to put the Flintstones down, but you don't want to put down Deep Throat.
Well, I didn't.
Yeah, and Rocky IV. Jesus, man, if I were you, I'd put down I'd put Deep Throat down before I put down Rocky IV.
Well, I don't want to say because it's kind of a sick thing.
Yeah. So, in other words, what you're telling me is this. When I ask you what your favorite movies of all time are, when I ask you what some of the great movies of all time are, you don't necessarily tell me what your favorite movie is. You give the right answer to make you look like some hip film aficionado. Is that it?
Well, I did like The Bicycle Thief.
What do you mean, The Bicycle Thief? I like The Bicycle Seat Thief. That's the one that I liked. What do you think of that?
I think you're really sick.
Well, I may be. The Bite. What is that?
Citizen Kane, of course.
Citizen Kane. You know, I've seen Citizen Kane about 3 times. It still sucks. I can't figure that movie out. What is that about, anyway? Who is that guy? Is he a book guy and a woman can't sing? And Rosebud? Who gives a crap? And by the time they finally tell you what Rosebud is, oh, it's a sled. Wow. Thanks for the payoff, Orson. You shoveled that food down in real life like it was going out of style, and when I ask you for a decent payoff in a movie, you give me a freaking sled. How dare you? Taking up 6 tables over there at Chasen's. Nobody can get a freaking reservation because your fat ass is taking up 6 tables with the damn dog crapping all over the place. I want to try to get in and get something to eat. Then I go to watch your movie. I figure because you're such a freaking genius and you give me the Rosebuds a sled? You made 3 movies. That's all you made. Do you understand? Citizen Kane. Deep Throat, baby. That's what I'm voting for. $20 million. People are going in to rent that movie. In other words, what I'm saying to you is this. The profit to debt ratio on that movie is enormous. It's more than that Blair Witch Project. Don't you think? Or I don't know. Maybe it isn't. It's got to be more than a Blair Witch Project. But nobody wants to talk about that. They want to be hip and tell you that... what's the one they tell you that's always so great? Gone with the Wind? All right, fine. Gone with the Wind. It's a good movie. What? Godfather. Do you know how stupid Godfather looks now when you watch Godfather? Do you know how idiotic it looks now? How stupid that whole, my son, he doesn't understand. Oh, bug off, Grandpa, okay? You wouldn't last 4, what are you, Joe the Boss or something? They find you in a freaking meatpacking crate. These guys they got now. Am I right or wrong? Yeah, like they got some guy to, I'm good to my children. I don't ever want to see you. Don't ever disrespect me in front of Sal the Butcher. I don't know. The knife. They call him the Turk. Just get out of here, okay? Go get some fruit.
Okay.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Flashback.
I just think that this guy is a complete moron. I don't think he has any clue what he's talking about. He's talking about his clone picking up chicks in the bar when we're talking about stem cell research.
Mr. Henry, want to know...
two completely different things.
No, Mr. Henry, want to know why my clone would be good, why they should make clones off of me.
Okay, okay. It's not a clone. What we're talking about here is a zygote that they would be using to benefit others. It's not you, it's a zygote.
What's
from
a zygote?
You.
What's a zygote?
A zygote is when an egg and a sperm meet. We all learned that in eighth grade health.
No, they're talking about clone.
Yeah,
okay.
Zygote or clone?
Well, there ain't
clones
no sperm
in their pure
cell.
Form are zygotes. We all start out as zygotes.
There's no sperm and cell egg. Or what did she say?
She's saying that a zygote is like two cells, right?
Yeah.
Basically a two-cell.
But it's still a clone.
The ones they're talking about using, yes, it would be a clone.
And it'd be my clone. That's what I'm saying.
Well, okay, it'd be two.
I don't think that you understand what.
No, but do you remember in the movie Austin Powers when he had Mini-Me? If I couldn't get a full-size clone,
okay,
a mini-clone
okay,
could work.
Okay,
that's all
okay,
I'm saying.
For a second here,
yeah?
That's Hollywood. Hollywood has nothing to do with the scientific world.
No, but I'm saying if I couldn't get a full-size one.
Forget about whether you had a full-size clone.
It doesn't matter.
Freaking
weirdo. We aren't
weirdo.
Talking about cloning you so that you can have a buddy to go pick up chicks at a
I
bar.
I would give them permission.
We're talking about cloning you to benefit others. Like you said before, wouldn't it be cool if Ronald Reagan
could know
that he was watching his own film? Okay.
Right.
To me,
that's right.
These are human life.
Uh-huh.
I don't...
Yeah?
Personally, I don't believe that we should use them for any other purpose than human life.
Right. I mean, that's all I'm saying. I don't think you should make your clone grow up.
All right, let's be clear. You don't want your clone growing up and competing in bars with you.
No, sir. I just want... did a clone just... That sounds like a clone yelled. Hello?
Hello. It was some guy in the parking lot. He must have been listening. I don't know.
Oh, dude, don't clone you.
Look at
you know
the whole thing about being cloned.
I really could give a crap if they cloned me or not.
No,
I would
the
never
dude,
allow
the dude in
them.
The dude in the parking lot that's barking like a dog.
They're, I would never allow myself to
be cloned. Okay.
Okay.
But I would want myself to be cloned. To give your clone an opportunity to meet Mike.
Okay, that's great. Yeah,
okay.
We'll have a clone pickup society.
Can I tell you something? Can we stop talking about picking each other up in a bar?
I'm not picking you up. I said my clone's picking up your clone. I'm said my clone.
There's something that's a lot more important
than
hitting on me in a bar.
Why don't you listen to me, baby? I'm not talking about that. I mean my clone hitting on your clone.
You're nuts, dude.
Who's this?
The host of the show. That's who this is.
Oh, I thought you were there.
He's out of his mind.
Far gone.
Right,
I can't even talk to you.
My clone would go into a bar.
Yeah, you're goofed out, babe.
I would give them permission to use the clones.
Yeah, forget. Shut up.
Hey, I don't care.
I lost
both of my parents to cancer-related
illness. What if you cloned them?
I would never clone my parents. That is
I'm going to tell you something right now. I like you, but you've said some things that are personal. I would never let my clone associate with your clone.
I got it with your clone,
you
man. You're never going to have your clone.
I'm so done with you. All right? Done with you and your clone. We're talking
about
a cell.
But I'm talking about
talking
how
about
personal you were.
We're talking about a cell.
I'm talking about how personal you got. You expect even clones can meet and share something.
Okay. No.
Both of you guys are flipping me out. Hey, speaking of great movies, you guys ever see a movie called Clone or The Clones? And I got to look this up now on IMDb, but there was a movie in the 70s called either The Clones or Clone. And it was, it was another in a long line of films that are magnificently bad, right? I think it's called Clone. This dude winds up chasing his own clone on a roller coaster. Oh, wait, that's not Clone Master. Wait a minute. He's a scientist, and he winds up chasing his own clone. This is really funny. I can't find it. I believe chasing his own clone on a roller coaster, or his own clone is chasing him. See, the idea that people had about clones was really nuts. Yeah, here it is. It's called The Clones, 1974. I think people thought that you could just spontaneously make a full-grown clone of yourself, and it would be your evil twin, and you'd have to, you know, ultimately destroy it. Which, obviously, the technology is anything... It's got nothing to do with any of that. Michael Green as Dr. Gerald Appleby, Susan Hunt, Gregory Sierra. Remember him? He was in Barney Miller. And he was also in Papillon and Towering Inferno and a couple other movies. Otis Young. That wasn't the Otis Young, not the guy from Last Detail. He went from Last Detail to The Clones? Oh, my God. He played Mulhall in Last Detail. He was hysterical. He went from a great movie like that with Nicholson to The Clones? Or maybe it was a step up? Maybe he got paid more. Maybe he got a piece of the gate or whatever the hell they called it, a point or two or six? Hey, don't worry about it, man. I got points in The Clones. Then it was Stanley Adams, Noble Kid Chisel, Ray Gideon, Lamar, whoever. So the idea was that if you made a clone in a laboratory, the thing would be a full-grown clone and would haunt you, chase you, almost like Frankenstein's monster. Now, of course, we realize, what were we thinking? You got to make a clone, it's got to grow up. But I'm going to tell you something right now, and you mark my words on this whole clone thing. It's going to go out of control. There's going to be some, look, we all know about mad scientists. We all know there's some guy with a laboratory. They don't work in laboratories. They work in laboratories. And there's going to be a guy out there that's going to go and do cloning illegally. Now, how do the cops bust that? Congress has just outlawed it. How do the cops bust illegal clone operations? Is it going to be something like out of Creation of the Humanoids or something? Bust in the door. You got clickers in there? You know, are they going to, like, raid a laboratory and the clones will be in tanks? Or the clones will fight back? How is this going to work? How do they do that? Honest to God. They handcuff a scientist in his lab coat, and they take him into a squad car with his Dr. Zorba hair sticking out. And he's babbling like a maniac about how you'll see one day the world will know my genius. And off he goes to like a drunk tank. And meanwhile, in the lab, they're destroying clones. I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to happen. So forget about it. Anything you make illegal, the guy's going to try to do. And especially this clone stuff, man, there's big money in it. There's already a guy who's going to go to Mexico or Italy or something and clone him, right? And why? Why is it? Childless couples who want to have children. Childless couples that want to have children, they want to have a kid, they can have a kid. This is the way we can have a clone. We can make a clone of ourselves and carry the clone to a full term, and then the clone, I don't know, I guess it's cool. Why should I think it's bad? It's just, they need another term other than clone. I think that's what's hanging me up. Just call it a replicant. Okay, 1-800, that's very, I think replicant is much more homey, don't you? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, well, we had no success today at all. I mean, this was only the second time we tried Rip the Show. Just absolutely no success whatsoever in getting people to rip this program. If you think I'm kidding, I'm not. There were real facile comments like, we don't think the show is on long enough. I have no control over that. Now, what we're sort of hoping, and maybe it's one of these things, I just have to sit down and I got to explain these things. The stuff you hear on the air on this show is an expression of an opinion that I've got. For instance, today when we had Jeff, well, I don't want to say today, but let's just take, for example, an hour where we had Jeff talking about roller coasters and how Jeff Dowder believes that you need to be qualified to ride on a roller coaster. Otherwise, you almost deserve what you get when the roller coaster explodes or when the roller coaster falls apart. You kind of deserve what you get. You should be qualified to ride on a roller coaster. You should be Don't you think that's true? You don't? You disagree with that? Well, then you call in. Hey, Phil, you're full of crap. Or maybe you don't think you know what it is that I'm trying to say. Let me tell you what I was trying to say with that Jeff Dotter, you need to be qualified to ride a roller coaster. I think you really do. Look, you get on that thing. There's two things you can do with a roller coaster. You can let every schmuck get on it, and when they die or get severely injured, their families sue you. Or you can simply say, you're not qualified, you're not getting on. Either you're young and you're strong and you're strapping, or you don't get on. Well, is that going to prevent me from being killed if the roller coaster crashes? It increases the odds that you'll be alive. I'm not putting anybody on a roller coaster that doesn't look physically fit to be on a roller coaster because I don't want to get sued. You get it? This is the world that we've created. This is the world. I'm not just talking about how there is such a thing as frivolous lawsuits. What we're trying to do is show you the world that we're creating. Trying to show you the world we're creating here. Put a helmet on your kid when he gets onto Mr. Toad's wild ride at Disneyland. Hello? You think that's absurd? What kind of a world do you think we're building right now? Have a guy be Air Force certified before he gets on California Screamin' or Colossus or that State Line job or any of those big-ass roller coasters. You think that's absurd? You think that's crazy? What do you think's going on right now in this world? What do you think is happening right now? What do you think everybody who believes that they can get that they can get some satisfaction by taking a guy to court, that's what they believe. That's the world they want. And I don't give a crap whether you agree or not, although when we do an hour like Rip the Show, it would be nice to hear from you, but okay. Maybe you can't figure it out. Like, you know, next week we're going to be on vacation, but we're going to be playing some classic stuff. I mean, some incredibly classic stuff from this show. We did a show with Bob Green where he was weighing people going into and out of his store. He was a grocer. He was weighing people going into and out of the store. Now, why was he doing that? Well, he wanted to know how much they weighed going in so that when he weighed them going out, if they weighed any more, they'd been pilfering. They'd been taking food. Some people think that it's their God-given right to walk into a supermarket and just kind of like sample the food. And this is a grocer who is weighing people on their way out. And if he found that you weighed more than you did going in, he would put on rubber gloves and force his fingers down your throat and make you vomit up the food so he could inspect the vomit to make sure there wasn't any of his product in there. Now you say to me, well, isn't that funny? That's the kind of world I'd like to see. I want to see that happen. I am not kidding. I am not kidding. I am not freaking kidding over here. I really want to see a supermarket do that. Well, then I just wouldn't give them my business. Oh, what are you, a thief? No, I'm not a thief, but I just don't think... Oh, so we don't have the right to check to see whether you're sticking your hands into a box of Ritz Bits and just kind of walking down the aisles and sampling crap so that somebody else can come along and get your disease-ridden germs all over them? And you're eating food out of the... you got to pay for that. I would love, like hell. I wouldn't mind a guy weighing me going and weighing me going out. What do I get there? I'm not going to eat his food. I'll buy it and I'll eat it at home. What's the other hour we did? There's another hour we're going to be running back for you next week. One of the classics. Bobby was Bobby Dooley of the Western States Homeowners Association was giving her kids Herbalife vitamins and was trying to get the fat off of them by giving them Herbalife vitamins and all of this stuff, and finally decided that it was a kindness to just smother them with a pillow. And it's really not a big step. It's really not a large leap, because in Bobby's mind, it's just a little squeeze with a pillow and their troubles are over. Fat kids. They asked me the question, what does that mean, Phil? Well, let me tell you what it means. I don't know. I'll tell you what it means. It means that there are people out there, people who are so ashamed of their fat kids that they'd rather kill them than have them see in public. They are so ashamed of the corpulence, so ashamed of the physical demeanor and the physical manner of their children, so embarrassed by them, so desirous of a graceful and athletic and educated and smart and good-looking child, so desirous of having that, and then look what the good Lord gives them, some big, fat, stumbling kid, that they just as soon see that kid get smothered with a pillow. Because when you take a kid like that and you put him through Pop Warner, dance lessons, you try to run his ass into the ground in football, in other words, you try to make him a chip off the old block, what else are you doing but killing him? Slowly but surely, you're killing any individuality or personality that kid ever had. You're trying to replace it with yours. How's that for thinking on my feet and coming up with a spur-of-the-moment read into that hour? Wasn't that great? Let's give Phil, a round of applause. See, I know me, man, and I know exactly what those hours mean, okay? And where else in talk radio are you going to get that? That kind of insight with me playing the character of Bobby Dooley, the callers calling in, getting nuts, the whole thing funnier than hell, and making a point about society, too, on top of that. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to go home and have sex with myself. That's how much in love with the very idea of me being me I am. Ha 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 ha. Here's another show, okay? Craig wants me to explain The Pope Is Backed Up, which got us canceled in one market. Rudy came on and said that the Pope, Pope John Paul, was walking in a hunched, pained-looking manner because he was backed up, because he hadn't had sex in 40 or 50 years. Give or take 40 or 50 years. And that the being backed up was causing this problem. And Craig wants me to explain, well, what does that mean exactly? What does that mean? Well, it's obviously a comment on the insanity of the celibacy of the Catholic priesthood. Now, I grew up Catholic, and I know that it's a very chic and very vogue thing to dump all over Catholics. Also, the sexual frustration making him shake. The point being, maybe he wouldn't be such a constipated-looking man, and maybe he wouldn't be such a constipated-thinking man were he able to get his ashes hauled, oh, let's say, every 10 years. Which I ain't saying he isn't, I ain't saying he isn't. Maybe he is, but I'm betting he ain't. He is, after all, the Pope. So what was the point I was going to make? It was going to be really good, I forget. Oh, yeah, it's really chic and vogue to dump all over Catholics. Okay, I've heard a million. You know, look, I'm Catholic. I know. I live the culture. I've seen it. I realize the priesthood is dying. Absolutely. And the one reason why it is, and the one reason only why the Catholic priesthood is dying on the vine is because of this celibacy thing. And the same thing goes for the nuns. And there's nothing in the Bible about priests having to be celibate. There's nothing that Jesus ever said about having to be celibate. It's all just a load of crap because they wanted to own property, the church. And if you were going to go to work for the church, they wanted everything you got. And if they had to share it with your wife, no thanks. So let's get off the high horse, let's unback up the Pope, and let's have some fun, okay? That's what that hour means. What else? Oh, you mean only got 30 seconds? Thank God, I couldn't think I couldn't. You think I can keep bullcrapping like this forever? You're dreaming. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show, our number one rated Phil Henry Show, Best of the Year 2000 album, available at 877-616-7445. Ask about our picture disc vinyl, too. All the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids. We made $152,000 this year, over a half a million over the last 4 years for my friend's place.